Well, friends, as we come to the ministry of God's Word this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4. This morning, we'll be considering the words found in verses 1 to 6. That's the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. John writes the following: Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Thus far in God's word. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. One of the characteristics of the epistle of 1 John is that he repeats themes to the believers in this church. One of the themes he repeats is the one of love. How we ought to love one another through the Spirit of God. This is a stylistic writing that shows great care and concern for the believers. We see the same style as Paul would write to the church in Philippians, where he says, for me, it is of greater joy to be able to write the same things to you for your benefit. And so, in the midst of false teachers, John reminds the church that the Holy Spirit will apply the words of truth to their hearts. The Holy Spirit will guide believers against false teaching and encourage them to persevere. This text before us is relevant to us today because false prophets exist. They are in our midst. They are here today. Just as they were there in John's day, they are in the world today. In the 1980s, it was estimated that around 10,000 physicians in the United States had fake medical licenses. Many American citizens may have received medical treatment from doctors and nurses who lied about having a medical school degree, but actually didn't. They lied that their medical school loan applications, they went to school and paid for it, but instead they used that money, that loan, to purchase this false degree. Many American citizens may have received medical treatment from doctors and nurses who are not qualified. And this is true. Even in our own country, there's been reports of doctors who were found out to have false qualifications, but yet they were treating people. It is scary. It is a scary thing to think that there are people out there who are no more qualified than you are and are attending to your physical well-being, to your health. But how much worse is a false prophet? The person who claims to speak for God, but is in fact a fraud, and they can do immeasurable damage. For it is not our physical health that is at risk, but our spiritual well-being. Just as a false physician could cause the death of a patient, so the false prophet can bring spiritual death. It's sad today, in our day and age, that there are men and women who claim to speak on behalf of God, who claim that they have new revelation for us today, but in fact they are frauds. These people occupy the pulpits. They are not in the world, as we will learn later on, but they are in the church. They declare prophecies and teaching that have destroyed many marriages, severed friendships, divided churches, and have damned many people's souls to hell. The church today faces this threat. The threat of our faith, the threat of true doctrine. And therefore, the church needs to test every spirit. This is the call that John will give to us. Test every spirit. These prophets, they teach deadly doctrines, which is full of poison. And if you entertain it, it will kill your soul. They are false teachers who outrightly contradict the essential teachings of the Christian faith. We will say they are heretics. They deny the faith and celebrate that which is false and lead many astray. They are charlatans who cause or who uses Christianity as a means for personal gain. For them, it's all about how Christianity can fill my pockets. It's about gaining prosperity at the expense of the true gospel and at the cost of many people's souls. They are false prophets who claim to be gifted by God to give new revelation outside of that which we already have, that which God has already given to us. And so there is a great need, friends, to test the Spirit, to see if they are from God. Because the faith, the true faith, is under threat. And this is the first point that we'll consider this morning. The threat of false teachers is found in verse 1 and 5. John says in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Then also in verse 5 he says, "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them." John here is calling believers to be cautious because not every spirit is from God. We as believers have the indwelling of God's Spirit within us as proof that we belong to Him. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It leads us to all truth and applies the Word of God into our hearts. But beloved, there are spirits that stand in contrast to the Spirit of God. These are men who by their teaching distort the Word of God. They change it. They make it seem as though it is from God. They make up dreams and fabricate prophecies to meet their own goals. Notice that as John writes, that the false teachers have two sources. In verse 1, we see that the first source is from above, in the spiritual realm. And the second source is from the world, in verse 5. What do we know about the first source, the spiritual realm? Well, as per John's warning, we are not to believe them, because not every spirit is from God. We are never to assume that every spiritual experience or every demonstration of spiritual power is from God. The spiritual realm is a reality. We do not deny that. Even as Paul will write to the Philippians church in chapter 6, he will tell us that we are not just waging war against the flesh, but against the principalities of the world, against the spiritual forces that are at work. There exist spirits that seek to twist and distort the truth. And when we begin to entertain these thoughts that belittle God's work, This is a spirit that are at work. When you and I begin to have thoughts that belittles the nature of who Jesus is, that begins to undermine who God is, that is the spirits that are at work. And if we entertain those thoughts that are contrary to the word of God, this will ultimately lead to our destruction. They are unseen spiritual influences that guide people's speech, thoughts, and action. They come to us under the disguise that they are from God, but they are not. Satan is at work. And what he does is that he imitates the truth. He takes the truth and he masks it up. He changes it as though it was the real truth. He laces it with poison, with poisonous lies. His influence is also seen in the world. And so what we know is that those who are in the world belong to Satan. And these false preachers go into the world and the world listens to them. Why? Because their message is no different from what the world believes. Their thinking is the same. Their beliefs is the same. Their agendas is the same. The influence of the world is evident in their speech. Even just as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And their mouth declares all that is in the world. You would remember that John said the following about all that is in the world. Page back with me to John chapter 2. John would say the following in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. All of these things are from the world. And what these false preachers are teaching is exactly this. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the heart. That is no different from what the world believes. And the world listens to them. They are from the world. That is the false preachers, the Antichrist, the ones led by Satan. Those in the world influence the world because they are in the world. And the world listens to them. The world is deceived because they are filled with deception and are led astray by deceivers. And this was not only in John's time, but even earlier on in the prophets, God warned about such prophecies as he spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 14. In Jeremiah chapter 14, we see that God promises that because due to the people's disobedience and sin, they will be exiled. And a famine will come upon their land. And Jeremiah declares this truth to the people of God. But there arose other prophets who said otherwise. Look at verse 13. And I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you a short peace in this place. So now the prophets are contradicting everything that God said to the people through the prophet. And God responds. And the Lord said to me, The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and deceit of their own minds. Prophets do not represent God before the people. The prophets of today are not from God. And therefore, everything that they say should be tested. should not be trusted unless it has gone through the test of Scripture. That's why John would tell us that we are to test every spirit. This is an imperative. That is, it is a command. It is something that every single believer is meant to do, not just the pastors of the church. But you and I are meant to be able to test the spirits, to test the message that has been proclaimed to us, to see if it is from God. Examine for yourself what is being said to you and discern if it is truth from God. John doesn't want his readers and us to be deceived by the work of Satan in this world and the people that he uses to be led astray. And so we need to test. Notice again how John says, "For many prophets have gone out into the world." So the question we have to ask, or I would ask you, well, where do false teachers come from? Where do false prophets come from? Because we know that they went into the world, so they're not from the world. So what is their origin? The church. They're from the church, they're from within us. It is those that will read the scriptures and twist it for their own gain. And so where does the testing happen? It happens in the church, right? Sunday after Sunday, as you sit in your pews, as you listen to the word of God being proclaimed to you, you are testing. You are examining if the words that are being spoken are from God, so that you are not led astray. John earlier on in chapter 2, in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." False prophets are from the church. One author says this about the message of false teachers. He says, "The world shapes false prophecy because Satan shapes the world." These false teachers, they claim to be speaking from God, but in reality, they are actually speaking from demonic influences. And this is a great threat to the church. It is a great threat to your faith. We cannot tolerate or entertain false teaching. We need to test all things. Do not just take everything at face value and believe everything that you hear. But you need to have the Bible open on your lips, that as you hear, as you read, you are able to test all things so that you can hold on to what is good. In the week when you are listening to the radio, when you listen to sermons online, when you listen to podcasts, that's where the testing comes into play. The songs that you listen to, you need to examine them if the words contained there are from God. You cannot just simply say, "Well, it's a nice song. You know, it makes me feel good." But what are the words saying? What are the words teaching you? Because those words will be imprinted into your minds and they will inform how you think and how you speak. And so, how then can we test the spirits? This will lead us to our second point this morning, the testing of false teaching. In verses 2 and 3, John says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." John gives here a specific doctrinal truth with which we can measure the teaching of false prophets. In verse 2, the Apostle John says that we know the Spirit of God if they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. What is John saying here? True teaching will present a true Jesus. There is no need for alarm at the fact that John seems to be referring to the Holy Spirit in a plural tense. Look at those words in verse 2. But thus you know the Spirit of God, every spirit. When you read that, it'll seem as though that the Holy Spirit is in the plural sense, but actually it's not. Here it refers to every believer through the filling of the Holy Spirit that confesses Jesus Christ. It is referring to you and I who affirm that Jesus indeed did come in the flesh. It's referring to those who recognize the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. Because in John's day, the issue was about if Jesus actually came in the flesh. We know this. We have covered this before. It is the Gnosticism. They believe that Jesus coming in the flesh appeared to be human. He was as though he was a ghost. Why do they believe that? Why did they say that? Because they believed that the material, the created order was sinful. Therefore, Jesus could not have come in the flesh. And so John writes to combat that. Today, we have the opposite of that. Today, some religions deny that Jesus is really God, such as the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and the Muslim. But back in John's day, this was not an issue. They did not struggle to believe that Jesus was God. They could affirm it, but they struggled with his humanity. They did not believe that he had come in the flesh. And so what we see here is that the testing is in twofold. I wonder if you saw that. In verse 2, the focus there is about the humanity of Jesus Christ. But in verse 3, it is about the deity of Christ. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So John says, as you believers are testing the message of the false teachers, here's what you can use as your measure. One, are they proclaiming Christ in his humanity? Do they believe that Jesus came in the flesh? But secondly, do they believe in his deity? Do they believe that he is God? It is a Christological test. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Boys and girls, how would you answer that question? If I were to ask you this morning, who is Jesus? What would you say? Because some people out there believe that Jesus was a good man. Jesus came to earth to show us how to live a good life and how to be good people. Some people believe that Jesus was simply a prophet. He was a messenger from God. Some people believe that Jesus was created. He was a created angel just like Michael. But what do you believe about Jesus? The Westminster Shorter Catechism asked the question, how did Jesus, the Son of God, become man? This is the answer it gives. Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Jesus is both fully God and fully man. fully God and fully man. I mentioned earlier on that there are groups of people, there are religions today that do not affirm some of these truths. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah, just like Michael the Archangel, at some time prior to the creation of the world. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is a lesser God. He's not like the God of the universe. The Mormons believe that Jesus was a spirit child of Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother. The Son of God was a product of divine procreation, they would say. The firstborn of many spirit children made by heavenly parents. The Jews would reject the claim that Jesus taught, that he is God incarnate, the very Son of God from the Father. And so we have all these different religions that are teaching different things. And we have false teachers that are arising from the church, teaching doctrines that are different. And John says, you need to stand up. You need to man up. And you need to test everything. You need to test everything. The test is simple. Any spirit or teaching that acknowledges Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is God is false and is not from God. And so we have to ask the question, why is the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ so important? Because that's what John narrows in verses 2 and 3. And so why is it important for us? The humanity of Christ is important because Christ in his humanity represents us before God. It is because the horror of sin and death came through our first parents, Adam and Eve. And the only one to rescue us from this tragic reality must he himself be human, but yet without sin. He must be human, the seed of the woman, and also fully God, so that he can represent us before the Father. Jesus is thus the last Adam, the true human, in whom all fallen humanity can be reconciled to God. Jesus had to be a man so that he could identify with us, suffering in our place and sympathizing with our weaknesses. Jesus had to be truly God so that he could satisfy, he could justify us before the Father. Christ renders to God not only his active obedience, but his passive obedience as well. Because he is fully God and fully man, he obeys the law of God on our behalf in his active obedience, but in his passive obedience, God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we will become the righteousness of God. Jesus is the substitute on our behalf. He takes our place for our benefit. He himself is the one who bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and we might live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For Christ suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us back to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit of God. Christ imputes his righteousness unto us. In his humanity, he becomes like us, but yet without sin. And in his divineness, he represents us before God. As he offers a sacrifice once and for all, for the forgiveness of sin, so that those who would confess him would be saved. And this is the call of God upon each and every one of us, that we would confess that Jesus is Lord. The Apostle Paul will write the following in the book of Romans, that here's how an individual is saved. He would say in chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and it is the one with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. Church, friends, it is through the confession of sin and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are made right with God. It is through the embracing of Christ's sacrifice, all that he has done on our behalf, that you and I are made right before him. He imputes his righteousness onto you so that you don't have to do anything, but simply confess that Jesus is Lord. Simply turn away from your sins and put your trust in him. He would save you. This is what God calls you to do. To come before him. To confess and to believe. And those who believe in him, he offers victory. Which is what we see in the remaining verses that we have before us this morning. The victory over false teaching. John would say this in verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And also in verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Little children, John is addressing his precious ones, the ones whom he loves. And he says, my children, I don't want you to fear. Do not fear the teaching of the Antichrist. Do not fear the false teachers. Even though I warn you about them, I warn you about their work and all that they are doing, don't be afraid. Why? The reason we do not fear is because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is greater than he who is in the world, that is Satan and all his allies. The one who is in the world. John will say this later on in the very same chapter in verses 12 and 13. He says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfecting in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And the one who is in the world, which is the devil, in chapter 5, verse 19, John would say this, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. This is Satan, the one who is like a prowling lion roaming the earth looking for people to devour, looking for people to deceive. That guy, he's not any greater than he who is in you. Therefore, your victory is certain. You can overcome and you will overcome because you have the Holy Spirit who is within you. He is greater than he who is in the world. Our confidence is grounded in the one who is in us, the Spirit of God. God's power to save is always greater than the devil's power to do harm. And so John goes on to say that we are from God, therefore we listen to his teaching because we have come to know him. Another evidence we see here for someone that is born again, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and listens to the word when it is applied to them. And so John goes broader. He's saying, not only do we hold on to the true doctrine of who Jesus is, but we hold on to the writings of Scripture. Everything that is written in this book, we believe and we affirm it. We hold on to it and we listen to those who will teach it to us. It's sad, isn't it? When you would counsel another believer in their lives, perhaps through a particular sin or maybe a decision that they need to make, and you warn them, you show them in Scripture, you show them the pitfalls of this and the dangers of this and what it could lead to. And they're like, I know better. I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. And then you look at their lives now, and they have made shipwrecks of their faith. I know of so many young people who used to be at our church, who came to our offices and made a decision to pursue a relationship with an ungodly person. And we warn them about it. We counsel them about it and say, what does fellowship with the world have to do with those who belong to God? But they did not listen. They still carried on. They said, no, I'll be fine. I'll bring them to Christ. I'll bring them to church. It won't affect my relationship with the Lord. Where are they today? They're no longer walking with the Lord. Why? Because they did not listen to the word as it was applied to them. So this morning I want to leave you three exhortations. Three exhortations as we apply the words that we learned this morning. The first is this: be a Berean. Be a Berean. Acts chapter 17, verse 20 describes the Berean as those who were examining the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul and Silas preached were so. Those believers there sat down with Paul Sunday after Sunday and they examined their words. They tested them to see if the truth they were proclaiming was from God. Friends, we need to know the truth in order to spot a lie. You cannot combat a lie if you don't know the truth. You need the real deal, the real Makoya, in order to spot the phone call. So you need to be a Berean. You need to take up the word, study it for yourself, examine everything. Because this word has been long preserved. It has been given to us for our walk in this world. And as man may stand up in this pulpit, what you should be telling them, what should be on your prayer, is that tell me the same old, old story. The story that I grew up with. The stories that I've read for myself in the Bible. That's what I want to hear. Not your own inventions. We need to test the word and be good Bereans. Another one is listen to sound counsel. Hebrews 13 verse 17 will say this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. When your leaders, when fellow brothers and sisters in the faith counsel you pertaining a particular decision or concerning a manner of lifestyle that you are living, as a sign that you belong to God, you will listen to sound counsel. You would give yourself to their message as they apply God's word to your heart. Do not harden your heart. Do not see it as though they are judging you, but they are concerned for your soul. The desire for every pastor is to see its members walk in the faith. It's to see its members embracing the truth of God. Listen to sound counsel. And then lastly, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Victory is guaranteed. We have the abiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are not alone. And as we test the Spirit, God is with us. God is leading us. God is guiding us. And He will keep us. We will be overcomers. We will be victorious. And one day we will stand before His glorious splendor, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. But until then, we have a task. We have a duty. Do not believe every spirit, but test their message to see if it is from God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning that you give us the comfort and you would impress this truth into our hearts, that who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. May we not be like those who just received messages in face value, but through the empowering of your Holy Spirit, Lord, cause us to test every spirit. Cause us to test the messages that we are hearing. Lord, our desire is to walk in the truth, to be found in your truth, to allow the truth of your word to conform us into the image of your beloved Son. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to be those who are bold in our faith. Help us to be those who are courageous or confronting false teaching. Help us to be those who are zealous for your word, who would give themselves to the study of it, so that we would be able to combat false teaching. Help us, Father, to immerse ourselves in the truth of your word, so that the light of Christ will be seen in and through us. And we thank you that you have not left us alone, but through the enabling of your Holy Spirit, you work in and through us, that you remind us of these truths, even in those moments when we are prone to forget. We thank you that you convict us of our sin. We pray, O Lord, that you would go before us now, even as we go into the week. Help us to hold the gospel in our hearts. Help us to hold the Bible in our hands as the source of authority in everything that we do, so that one day you would present us before the Father, blameless, holy, righteous, without spot or blemish. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.